Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lord, we just give you praise. We give you thanks for your mercy and your grace. Father, I pray that you would just take a coal from the altar, that you'd cleanse my lips, that I'd speak forth the absolute truth of the Word of God, and that your message today would just change and transform our minds, that we would be more in tune with your will and your ways in our lives. God, that we would understand you more. Help me to explain this message in such a way that would impact us and change us. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit in our lives that changes us and transforms us. God, we just give you praise and glory. We invite you into this place to just do a powerful work in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. 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 The title of my message this morning is He Willing? Did you hear that? Okay. So, and did you hear me pray? Okay. 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 I just got to check with my wife now because she told me last night, she goes, I don't know, what's wrong with you? You didn't pray the last 2 weeks before you preached. And what does it matter what we call the sermon? You never tell the people. I'm like, I give the name of my sermon every week, and I pray every week. And she's like, nuh-uh. I'm like, okay, honey. So this time I'll make sure she knows. Did you hear that? Okay. All right. That was just fun. Yeah, she's busy up there. It's nice to know she's listening while she's playing the piano. Amen. But, this morning I do want to talk to you about, is he willing? I was telling Sherry last night, I said, do you remember me talking to you last night? Oh, yeah. And so I was telling her last night, I said, this message, as I put it together, it just was such a great revelation to me that I hope I explain it well enough, that I get across to you the heart of God here. In this circumstance. So let's get started and we'll get right in there. And we're going to start in Psalms 145, verses 8 and 9. And I apologize for the air conditioner. The air conditioner broke the end of last summer. The air conditioner worked all last summer. And then we tried to get the heater fixed last year. And the guy that tried to fix the heater actually burned up the air conditioner while he was trying to fix the heater. Then we had another guy come in, and he fixed the heater, but has not been able to fix the air conditioner yet. So I will get a hold of him and see what we can do about the air. I mentioned it to him. He was here last week, and I mentioned to him, I said, you know, my air conditioner in the sanctuary isn't working now, and I think we're coming up on some days where we can use the air conditioner. So here's the good news about the way we have our bulletin set up right now, is the middle part, okay, is your where you take your notes, okay, so you can write the notes. The other part, the other side, which is two folds, which is a thicker piece of paper, okay, all right, can actually stand to go like this better, okay. So now you can take notes and fan yourself, okay. This is hey, we do everything possible to help you, okay, so that you can be comfortable while you're listening to the message. Psalms 145, verse 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Hallelujah. Man, what a powerful message. In the study of the Lord's compassion, we must, in my mind, have a complete revelation of the Lord's willingness to heal and set us free. We have to understand his willingness to do that. During Jesus' earthly ministry, he was everywhere moved with compassion, and he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. He went about everywhere healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil because he was moved with compassion. His compassion so drove him to want to transform people's lives that he went everywhere that he went, he healed all who were oppressed of the devil. He left no stone unturned if they came to him and they responded to him. This same Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, that he might be a merciful, compassionate, and faithful high priest for us. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 say, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." In the scriptures, compassion and mercy mean the same thing. They mean the same. The compassion and mercy mean the same thing. The Hebrew noun, R-A-C-H-A-M-I-N, is translated both mercy and compassion. Now see, I could have pretended like I knew how to say that, okay? And then you would have, then all of you would have went around and probably mispronounced it everywhere, okay? You would have said, "Oh no, Pastor said that you pronounce that." So I have no idea how to say that, okay? But that's how you spell it. R-A-C-H-A-M-I-N. And can anybody say that? What?
Rahman.
And don't they all do that? Okay. So anyways, the Greek verb elio, see, I got that, so I can speak Greek. Elio is translated "have mercy" and "have compassion." And likewise, the Greek adjective elimon, yes, elimon is defined as merciful and compassionate. So these words mean the same thing in Greek and Hebrew, that compassion and mercy mean the same thing. To have compassion is to love tenderly, to pity, to show mercy, to be full of eager yearning. So to be compassionate is to be full of eager yearning. You see someone in need, you have pity on them, you are eager to make something happen for their lives. And so our text from Psalms begins with, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. The sentiments concerning the nature of God expressed over and over throughout Scripture is that God is loving and compassionate. God is not anything so much as He is love. There is nothing greater, there is no greater attribute, I guess, in God in that He loves us. And sometimes we get, and I'll talk more about this as we progress, but I want you to keep this in mind, that God is love, okay? The most conspicuous statements in Scripture about our Heavenly Father are declarations of His love, His mercy, and His compassion. Those are the things we notice most. I remember I had a guy that told me that he read the entire New Testament, and all he saw in there was the judgment of God. I said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "You need to reread the New Testament." The New Testament, if you can't read the New Testament and find that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten, the entire New Testament is based on the love of God, on the compassion of God, on the desire of God to meet the needs and to begin to pour out His Spirit in such a way that people are being set free on a regular basis. That is the heart compassion of God. That is what He wants to do. There is no note that can be sounded concerning God's character that so inspires faith as His expression of love and compassion for us. You can't, listen, there's nothing that should cause you to want God more or have greater faith towards God than when you recognize His own love and compassion for you. When you see His grace and mercy operating in your life, that should stir your faith. That would be the thing that would stir your faith. Faith rises mountain high when the truth of God is presented, presents love and compassion, begin to draw into our hearts and our minds, and we begin to understand these things. As our hearts and minds get in tune with the love and compassion of God, our faith will rise up as high as mountains, to move mountains. It is not what God can do, it is not what God can do, but what we know He yearns to do that inspires us. By showing His compassion everywhere in the forgiveness of our sins, the healing of the sick, the setting free of the captive, Jesus unveiled for us the compassionate heart of God to the people. And multitudes of people came to Jesus to get this love, this compassion, this grace, this mercy being poured out upon them. What they had was a religious experience with the Pharisees, who were all these rules and regulations, all the do not list. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this. And Jesus came along in tender mercy and grace and began to set people free by sharing the love of God, the compassion of God, and those kind of things. And He began to do that. Now, Satan has worked to hide this gracious fact from people, the fact of God's grace. Now, I know we talk about God's grace, and I'm gonna explain what I'm talking about here, but I know we talk about grace and that God's grace is out there, but the enemy has hidden this fact to us is the purpose of how He came. Okay, let me explain. Modern theology magnifies the power of God, okay, more than it magnifies His compassion. There are more people today that are enamored or excited or caught up in the power of God, okay, rather than being attuned with the compassion of God, okay, and recognizing God's compassion towards them. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say,
maybe I should read all the words on the page. It just said a sum of them.
In no place does the Bible say that God is power. Okay? But it does say that God is love. Now that's not to say that God is not power, because there is no greater power than God. But the Bible nowhere says God is power. It does say God is love. And because of kind of modern thinking and modern way of doing things, it is not faith in God's power that secures His blessing. It's not faith in God's power that secures His blessing, but faith in His love and in His will that stirs our faith, that brings our faith up. It's not in the power of God, but in the knowing of His love and of His will that will stir your faith. The first statement in our text is, the Lord is gracious, meaning He is inclined to show favor. Graciousness means He's inclined to show favor. Okay? This gracious fact has been eclipsed by a modern theology where we say God is able. I want you to let that soak in, because I know we all say it. God is able. God is able. Instead of saying God is gracious, the Lord is gracious, or the Lord is inclined to show favor, the Lord is able has kept us from knowing that the Lord is willing. There's a difference, and this is what I want us to discover today. There's a difference between the Lord is able and the Lord is willing. How much faith does it take to say the Lord is able? Well, duh. The devil knows the Lord is able, but he also knows that he is willing, and he tries to keep that a secret from us, from the people of God, that the Lord is willing. I mean, we all believe that God is able. I mean, my goodness, he's an all-powerful God. God can do whatever he wants to whoever he wants, whenever he wants. I mean, God is able. Is he not? Absolutely. But there's something that we must discover as believers. God is willing. Satan is okay with us magnifying the Lord's power because he knows that it is not a sufficient base for faith. He knows that the Lord's compassion and willingness is. There, listen, if all you do is understand that God has the power and he is able, where does that take you? Nowhere. Okay? But when you begin to understand that God is compassionate, okay, and he is willing, that changes your faith. Once you recognize his compassion for you and me and his willingness for you and me, it changes the power of God from the power of God being able to the power of God willing to begin to work in your life. And there's a difference. Before praying for healing or deliverance from people, we should wait and teach them the word of God, or teach them the word of God until they can say, the Lord is gracious instead of the Lord is able. This is exactly what Jesus did before he healed the leper in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 and 3. Let's read. Behold, a leper came and worshiped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately the leper was cleansed. Jesus showed his willingness so that a man could receive. Jesus said, I am willing. Not, well, okay, maybe. He said, I'm willing. Over the last several weeks, we have presented many scriptural proofs that the Lord is willing to work in your life, that he is willing to be a blessing to you, that his will is for you to not only be saved, but to be set free, to be filled with his presence. That's God's will for your life. He's willing that you would have all of him encompassing in you. That's his will for you. He's willing to do all those things. Okay? He's not just able, he's willing. But even if we advance past from the saying he is able to saying he is willing, this is not enough. The word willing is too tame. It doesn't fully express God's merciful attitude towards us. In Malachi chapter 7, verse 18, it says, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquities and passing over the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. Our God delights in mercy, not in holding our sins against us. We have his attitude more fully expressed in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. This text exhibits the Lord is not only being willing, but eager. Not only being willing, but eager to pour his blessings in great abundance upon all who make it possible. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro. In other words, he is even hunting for opportunities to gratify his benevolent heart because he delights in mercy. God sits on the throne waiting for you to open up opportunity because he's willing. He's waiting for you to say, I am here, pour it out, God. He is willing, and he's waiting for us to say, here I am. He's waiting for us to give him opportunity. He wants to bless us. He wants to pour out blessings on us. This is the heart of God. Benevolence is the greatest attribute of God. Therefore, if you want to please him, remove the obstacles out of the way so he can exercise his benevolence on you. God wants to do stuff. He wants to work in our lives. God is infinitely good. God lives in a state of dedication to pouring out blessings on his creature everywhere that it is made possible, in which we can do through the blood of Jesus. When we ask Jesus into our heart, we cleanse ourselves, we turn our hearts towards God, we say, here we are, God, woohoo! He wants to. He's not holding things back, going, oh no, I don't think I'm going to give Art this today. He wants to pour out blessings. He wants to give it to us. Our challenge is to place ourselves where God's mercy can reach us. Then wait to see if we do not experience the most overwhelming demonstration of his love and mercy, and blessings will flow until we reach our limit of expectation. I mean, have you ever been in a church service where God is so strong that you're so open to, and you're just so overwhelmed by his presence? He wants to do that all the time. He wants it because why? Because he's sitting on the throne with this incredible compassion and benevolent heart that says, I love to show mercy to my people. I love to pour out blessings on my people. Listen, I don't think he gets up in the morning, but if he did, he would get up in the morning and start looking for you. Are you looking for him? Does that make sense? I mean, God, listen, he's more than able. He's willing. He wants to do this. In other words, we need to stop thinking that we're so messed up that God won't help us, or that you don't deserve God's best. I think we just go around and go, well, you know, God, you and I both know that I don't deserve the best. Well, how are you making yourself open to his benevolent heart? You're closing yourself off to the demonstration of his compassion, his mercy, and his grace in your life. You're closing yourselves off to saying that, I know your grace is sufficient, God, but I'd like to hang on to a few of my own problems and feel self-loathing and pity and all those things because I know I'm not worth it. Well, of course you're not worth it. That's why Jesus died on the cross. But when you receive Christ into your heart and life, you are transformed, renewed. It is no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live for Christ, not for myself. So why do I keep bringing self up? And God, with his benevolent heart and compassion, what does he want to do? God wants to pour out blessings upon me that I can't even imagine or contain. He wants you to just pour them out on me. See the title? See the picture? When he pours out his blessing on you, it manifests itself in love. It just soaks you with his presence and its love. That's what God wants to do. And we sit back and go, I'm not worthy. Well, of course, that's because you're you. Stop being you. Start being his. Because once you become his, the floodgates open. Because see, everyone can say God is able. Because, a knucklehead knows that God is able. But the man of faith and the woman of faith know that God is willing. That God is gracious. He's in a position where he wants to do something miraculous in my life. He's waiting for the opportunity to just pour out blessing into my life. Not because I deserve it, but because he loves me. And his heart is moved with compassion towards me. Not because I'm worth it, but because his love and his mercy, he loves to be merciful. And I am a perfect opportunity for his mercy. I am a perfect opportunity for his grace to be poured out, for his compassion to be poured out. That's me. I'm in a perfect position to be poured on by God, who is waiting, wandering the earth to and fro, looking for me to pour out blessing upon. He's sitting up there going like, oh man, I can, oh, when I find Tim, here it all comes. He wants to do that. In Acts chapter 10, Cornelius, a Gentile, places himself where God's mercy can reach him by saying to Peter in Acts chapter 10, you can read the whole chapter. It's all of chapter Acts chapter 10, but I'm just going to take out a couple excerpts here. From Acts 10:33b, it says, "Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God." He put himself and all of his house in position to receive from God. We are all here. We are all prepared to receive whatever God has commanded to you to give to us. You just pour out whatever it is right on top. We're ready for what God has for us right now. And he found God's goodness so great that he could not wait till Peter finished his sermon. Just as soon as Peter had spoken enough to base their faith on, down came the blessing. Listen to this. Acts chapter 10, verse 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. Let me tell you the significance of this moment right here. Okay? Acts chapter 10. Up until this point, no Gentiles had been filled with the Holy Ghost. No Gentiles were getting saved. Okay? Because they weren't sure if it was just for the Jews or if it was really for the Gentiles. Acts chapter 10 is where Peter gets the revelation of the meat coming down and saying, don't call unclean what I have called clean. So then he goes downstairs to Cornelius, and Cornelius says, here we are. We're all right here, Peter. Give us the word the Lord has commanded to give us. And there's, whoa, we're ready. And before he can finish preaching, the Holy Ghost falls on the entire household of these Gentiles for the very first time in the history of the church. The Gentiles were being poured out, and those who were circumcised, who thought that that must be the sign of the covenant, okay? Well, those that were circumcised, they were astonished because these Gentiles, who were not people of God, they were not Jews, how could they be filled with the Holy Spirit? They were suddenly being filled with the Holy Spirit and magnifying the Lord with their tongue and praising God. A great outpouring of the Holy Spirit amongst the Gentiles, which birthed the Gentile church, which birthed all you and me getting into the kingdom of God. And the gospel being spread to all the corners of the earth right here in this very moment. Why? Why was Cornelius there? Because Cornelius said, here I am, God. Tell me exactly what you want for my life. Go ahead. Use Peter. We're listening. And it's the same thing today. God wants to pour out his Spirit. Not only is God able, but he is also willing to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask and think. It seems to me that God would rather we should doubt his ability than his willingness. It seems to me that we should doubt God's ability rather than his willingness. Because let me explain it this way. If someone came to me with a need and they said, Pastor Tim, I know you could help me if you would. Doubting my ability, than to say, I know you can, but I have no confidence in your willingness to want to do it. Man, I'd rather have somebody say, Pastor, I know if you had the money, you'd give it to me. I know if you had the ability to help me, you would help me. I know you would. I'd rather have them say that to me than to come to me and say, I know you have the ability to do it, but I have no confidence that you really want to do that for me. See, and that's what I'm saying is, I don't think God wants us to come to him and say, God, I know you're able to do these things, but man, I'm just not positive if you're willing to do it. I have no confidence in your will to touch my life, to change me, to transform me. I think God would rather have us say, God, I don't know if you can do this. I don't know if you have the ability to do this, but I know if you could, you would, and you'd be willing to pour out blessing into my life. I don't know if you can, but I know you're willing, God, because I know the compassion of your heart. I know the benevolence of your heart. I know your grace. I know your mercy. And your grace and mercy tells me that if you have the power to do it, you'll do it. I think you'd rather have us say that than to say, God, I know you got it all, but I just don't think you're willing to give it to me. Because that's not true. It's just not true. See, God is not only able, he's willing. And if there's one thing, please take this away from me here today. Know this. God is willing. He is absolutely 100% willing to do everything you ask when you come to him with an open heart and an open mind. Again, our text in Psalms 45 further states that the Lord is full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. When I think of how the Lord floods our hearts with his tender love until in intercession our hearts are so filled with compassion that we can't even speak, you know, utterances that can't. I mean, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but you just get woken up in the middle of the night for a missionary around the world that you don't know. And you just have this overwhelming compassion for this individual. Or you might have a friend or a relative or someone that and God just wakes you up and he says, pray for them. And you're interceding and you're praying, and the compassion of God is so strong in your heart that you can't even, you don't even know what to say. You're just so overwhelmed with this burden of compassion. When I know that God stirs that kind of compassion in me, it just makes me think, wow, how great is his compassion towards me? That if he can stir that type of emotion in myself, how much more is his compassion towards me? How great is his compassion towards me? That he is so, that almost where he can't even speak, he wants, his compassion is so strong for us. His benevolence, his mercy, all these things are so much for us that they just flood us. A mother's compassion for her child makes her willing to do anything to relieve the suffering. She'll do anything for her kids. A mother will do anything for their kids. That kind of compassion is remotely comparable to God. That's the kind of compassion. He'll do anything. He'll do anything. Let's see. Well, how far will he go? He might even go to the cross. He might even die for you. Oh, wait a minute. He did that already. His compassion is so great. His mercy, his grace. It's so great for us, but we've got in our minds the thought that God is able and not that God is willing. Because he's willing. He's not just able, he's willing. He sits on his throne with this incredible willingness to do exactly everything possible for Bob and Jackie and Bobby. All of you, every one of us. He sits on the throne and just says, with his heart just bursting with blessing and compassion, looks down and says, man, I just want to gush all over them. I just want to do everything I can to make their lives, to make their lives so incredibly awesome. I mean, we all have kids, don't we? Or most of us have kids or know of kids. Well, I guess if you know of kids, it's not the same, but I want to do anything for my kids. I would sacrifice everything I had just to get them one step further up the rung of the ladder, I guess, is what you could call it. We all are like that. The Greek word sympathos, translated compassion, means to suffer with another. Our text, after showing us God's great compassion, closes with the logical conclusion. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His works are motivated by his mercy. Stop thinking that his works are motivated by your faithfulness, or by your obedience, or by your ability to serve him. They're not. His works, all of them, are motivated by his mercies. Is God able? Yes. But more than that, he's willing. He's sitting there willing to give you all the things that you ask. In other words, he is so full of compassion that he cannot be a respecter of persons in the giving of his mercy. He cannot be a respecter of persons in the giving of his mercy. Do you recognize that anyone, any knee that bows and any tongue that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord will be saved? Because God can't hold back his mercy from anyone. He can't hold back his grace from anyone, because he's willing that none would perish. He's willing that none would see the dark side, that all would flow in his grace and in his mercy and in his power. When we understand his compassion and his mercy and his grace and his love, then we'll experience his power. Listen, I got news for everyone out there that's listening. Stop seeking his power, because all of his power is behind his love, his grace, his mercy, his compassion for us. Because he's willing, not just able, he's willing to do all that he's written in his word for you and me, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. Not because of us, but because of him and his son. He has all this to pour out on us. God is way more than able. He's willing. He's willing to do all these things for us. Amen? And I think this is the greatest revelation that we could walk away with in any part of our life, is understanding that God is willing, not just able. He's willing. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you that, God, you are full of grace, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of love for us. We thank you, God, that it's by your grace that we receive anything from you. It's by your mercy that we receive anything from you. And Father, we know that you're able, but more than that, today, God, we know that you're willing, that you sit in a gracious position, wanting to pour out blessing on us, wanting and desiring, searching, hunting for those of us that will open ourselves up to an outpouring of your blessing. And Father, we know that this is your will, that you're willing to do these things. You're not just able to do them, but God, you're willing. This is something that you're passionate about, pouring out your spirit, pouring out your love and your mercy and your grace upon us all. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, if you'll slip your hand up, we'll pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to do that. If you'll just raise your hand, we'll pray with you. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Let us walk away from this place knowing that you are willing And let us put ourselves right now in this worship time, let us put ourselves in a position to receive your blessing. Challenge us this morning, God. Let our hearts be open. Let us be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. God, we know you are willing to pour out blessing on us, and we know you will right now pour out blessing on us. Father, let us get in the way of your blessing and your outpouring. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.